God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. There's never a moment when He is not good. Now, the provision that He has made for us is spectacular. What He has provided for us is so incredible. In the Old Testament, you know, they had the prophets and the priests and the kings who were anointed of God. The general people were not. And they would go to, you know, prophet, priest, king, a man of God, a woman of God, and they would lead them. And, you know, they would be led by God in that manner. But in the New Covenant, it's not that way. It's not that way. In the New Covenant, we have a better covenant established upon better promises, and this better covenant established upon better promises, we have an internal leading. You know, in Jeremiah 31, we're not going to go there, but in verses 31 through 34, God said, I'm going to make a new covenant. And He talks about that new covenant. He says, it's not going to be like the old covenant. That old covenant, I led you externally. The new covenant, I'm going to put my words and my law on the inside of you. I'm going to put it in you. And then He went as far in Ezekiel to say, I'm going to take out of you a heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to put a new spirit within you. And then He went as far as to say this, I'm going to put my spirit within you. So He was going to make a real change in the new covenant. He's going to take the old out and He's going to put the new in. And when He puts the new in, He gives us a new spirit. And then His spirit comes and resides within that. And His spirit residing within our spirit is now the leading force if we will listen. He is a force that will lead us if we will listen. He is a guide on the inside. He is that voice of God which will lead us. He is the one who will give impression to go here to do this. He is the one who will give us image and just different things to lead us. And it is quite amazing. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a group of people, and you'll find this mentioned specifically in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. And they are called the children of Issachar. Now, the children of Issachar, it says there that they had understanding of the times. They had understanding of the times. Now, in the New Testament, we are led not by an external leading, and we should have an understanding of the times. There should be an unction on the inside of us. The closer we get to Jesus' return, it is a stirring. And I'm telling you, I am stirred that He is about ready to return. We can look at the signs and we can look at the signals and all of those things. And that's wonderful. We've got that. But we have something even greater on the inside of us. And that's the Holy Ghost. And He is bearing witness with our spirit. And if you are spiritually sensitive at all, you know that it is almost time. Almost time. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. Go over to 1 Thessalonians for just a moment here. And let me get there. First Thessalonians chapter 4. And he says for in verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. That's us. That's us. We which remain, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not, in the King James it says prevent, but it really means to precede or go before those that are asleep. He's talking about those that have died in Christ. So he says, we will not precede them. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. These words should be a comfort unto you. These words should be a comfort unto you. There's so much teaching that is wrong about the end times, and so much teaching that is wrong about the tribulation. And many believe that we will go through the entire tribulation. Others believe that we will go through half of the tribulation. And I'm telling you, we will not go through any of the tribulation period. That tribulation period, Jesus called, he mentioned two different things. He mentioned tribulation, and then he mentioned great tribulation. And when he mentioned great tribulation, he's talking about the last 3.5 years. But the first 3.5 are going to be no picnic. It is going to be the worst time that this planet and humanity will have ever seen. It says that if God had not shortened those days, there would have been no flesh left. That's how bad it's going to be. As bad as it can get, that's how bad it's going to be. But we're out of here. We're out of here. And I'm telling you, my spirit is stirred that he's about ready to return. He is about ready to return. We're about ready to hear his voice call us up. We're about ready to hear the trumpet of God sound. We're about ready to hear the voice of the archangel, and we will fly heavenward. We're so near to that. And you should have a stirring on the inside of you about that. And I'm telling you, it is so close. It is so close. It is so close. If the children of Issachar under the old covenant knew, they were aware of the signs or of the what to do in those times, we should be aware of what to do, and we should have a leading on the inside of us of the times. You know, again, it said that they had an understanding of the times. You should have an understanding of the times. We will not be caught unaware. God is stirring the spirit of the believer. And we should be looking up, and we should be rejoicing. There should be no fear. This is not a fearful time. But I'm telling you, this is a time to work. This is a time to work. This is a time to work. Now, we need to understand, and let's go over to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And I'll get there here in a second. I'm kind of going in another direction. Keep your finger there. Flip back to Romans chapter 5. We'll go to Romans 14 here in just a moment. But Romans chapter 5, and it's interesting, there are statements in this chapter. This is an incredible chapter. I know I say that about a lot of chapters, but chapter 5 of Romans is an incredible chapter. And you really ought to highlight or underline the much mores in this chapter, because it says it over and over again, much more, much more, much more. And in verse 9, well, let's back up. Let's just go back to verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, we were strengthless, we were powerless to help ourselves. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then we get a much more. Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood. So when you are born again, you are justified by his blood. His blood that was paid for you is an incredible thing. In Ephesians chapter 1, you don't need to put this one up. In verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So what he is saying here, this much more, he is saying much more than now, because we have been justified by his blood, Have you been justified by his blood? Have you been forgiven of your sins? Have you been born again? Are you his child? If that is the case, then let's read this. He says, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now you need to understand that tribulation period is the period where the wrath of God is poured out. And he says, we won't be here for it. We won't be here for it. There's a couple other verses that also give us this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, if you're taking notes, and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, both of those say that we have been saved from the wrath of God. So, we will not be here during that time period. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, there is one point at which it talks about the winepress of the wrath of God. That's during the tribulation period. So, we won't be here for that. Now then, you got that? We're not going to be here for that. Okay, so let's go over to the 14th chapter. Romans chapter 14 and verse 7. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. Now, you say, well, that's an odd verse. Not really. For whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And we are his children, we are his servants, and we are his hands and feet in the earth today. And when you're alive, you should be about his business. And when we die, we're going to be with him. So whether we live or whether we die, we're his. None of you lives to yourself. Not a single one of us. This life is not all about you or all about me. And we've made that mistake. And even in the Word of Faith Church, we've gotten in ditches, and we've gotten in the ditch of it's all about me, it's all about me. You know, and we can sing the songs, it's all about you, but we might as well sing it, it's all about me, Jesus. And all this is for me, for my glory and my fame. You know, we can do that. And we've made it that when we focus wrongly. But I'm telling you, it's not about you. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 10. And Kathy, I want this up in the Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17. And there's a couple other translations which are really good on this too. But Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17. And it says, he who heeds instruction and correction is not only himself. Now remember, your life is not all about you. This life is not all about you. This time on earth is not all about you. Okay? He who heeds instruction and correction is not only himself in the way of life, but also is a way of life for others. And he who neglects or refuses reproof, but not only himself goes astray, but also causes to err and is a path toward ruin for others. Your life is not all about you. It's not all about you. And what we do here matters. We will be rewarded for obeying God. And sometimes the obeying God is so simple, and other times it requires a little bit more. It'll require some work sometimes. But it's not all about you. It's not all about me. Matter of fact, it's not all about the church. It's about reaching people and bringing them into the church. Because the church is not this building. The church is the body of Christ. It's us, and it's about us doing what God wants us to do. So, we are at a point where we need to understand Jesus is about ready to return. And I can be a pathway of life or a pathway of death, if I don't heed what God wants me to heed. Now, I'm not trying to drive you to a works mentality. All of this is going to come out of a heart of loving God. Matter of fact, do you want me to go there, Lord? Okay. Let's go over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I think it's somewhere around verse 10. I'll tell you when I get there. Oh, it's close. Verse 9. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. The first, really, probably third of it is what I've always focused on. Absolutely love that. But this middle section, there is such a richness to it. And he says here, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So he says, continue in his love. Okay, then go on into the next verse, verse 10. He tells you how to continue in his love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. In the same way that I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. Now, we get over into this position of got to do more. And that's not what I'm talking about. What God has called us to is simple loving him, and out of loving him, obeying him, because I love him. And when I do this, he says, you will, and in verse, where did we pick up? In verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And he says there, continue you in my love. That word continue is used over and over and over in this chapter. It's translated as continue. It's translated as abide. You can translate it as dwell. So he says, as the Father has loved me, even so have I loved you. I want you to continue to remain, to abide, to dwell in my love in the same way that I continued, remained, abided, and dwelled in his love. And that is, I have been obedient unto him. Now, again, I'm not saying that this is a works mentality. We can take this to the nth degree, and we can be condemned by the Word of God, and we can be condemned by other people. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you obey him. Now, you want to talk about some of the commands that he has given unto us. The commands that he has given unto us are not grievous. They are not so heavy that they cannot be borne. And that's what we get to, is this is too much for me. I can't do this. I have a friend, and I've counseled with him over and over again, and he had this tendency to slip over into a works mentality. And it got to the point where it was, I can't do enough. I just can't do it. And he basically threw his hands in the air and gave up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you love God, and you love him so much, you say, yes, sir, I will obey you. I will obey you quickly, and I will obey you fully. And you just do it. Now, turn over to 1 John. We're going a little different direction than what I had in my notes. That's okay. 1 John chapter 3. And verse 23 is where we're going to get to. And you can read verses 19 through 22 on your own time. But when we get to verse 23, and he says, and this is his commandment. This is his commandment. that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now, you're going to find in the Word of God where it says love is the fulfilling of the law. It is the law of love that we obey in the New Testament. We're not commanded to keep the Ten Commandments. We're not commanded to keep all of the law. We are commanded to believe in Jesus and walk in love. Now, there are going to be things about walking in love that you're going to find out you're going to have to do. Anybody know anything about Galatians chapter 5? Anything that's in that latter part of that? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 3, I believe it is. It's called the fruit. What is it, Linda? Fruit of the Spirit. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Love. So, it's part of what we get when we're born again. The Holy Spirit gives that to us in our spirit. We have love in us. It says in Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So it is wall to wall, top to bottom, side to side, overflowing with love. So He has empowered us on the inside with love. But what did it say in Galatians 5:22? The fruit of what? The Spirit is love. He did not say the fruit of your mind. He did not say the fruit of your body. He didn't even say the fruit of your soul. He said the fruit of the Spirit. That's part of you got born again. So when He said the fruit of the Spirit, and He connects that with these different things that He's put into us, the first one being love, of course, what He says is, you're going to have to walk in the Spirit to bring these fruit to fruition, to fullness. So, we have another command. It's very clear in Galatians chapter 5. He actually says it in verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So, we have that command to walk in the Spirit. So, when He gives it, now, why am I talking about all this? I'm talking about all of this because your life is not all about you. And the more we understand that God has called us to live differently, then we understand that the life that He has called us to is going to be one of walking in the Spirit. It's going to be one of loving my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. It's going to be one, because that's what Jesus said specifically in John chapter 14 in particular. He said, you love one another. But then He also told them to love your neighbor. That's actually coming directly out of the law. And He says, love your neighbor. And Jesus brought it into the new covenant, and He brought it into the New Testament and brought it alive to us when He gave us the story of the Good Samaritan. So who is my neighbor, the man said, trying to justify himself. He thought, well, it's just my Israelite neighbor. And Jesus told him this story about the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan was the neighbor. Let me put it this way. Anybody near you is your neighbor. So you have a command to love anybody near you. And then He went as far as to say, love your enemy. So we have all of this about love, yet this is not natural love. This is the love that is in your spirit. And because God loved you, He has poured out His love into you. You have the capacity to love anyone, anywhere, anytime. Because it's a matter of your spirit. Not of your soul, not of your emotions, not of your feelings. So you can love. So we're commanded this way. And when we do this, we walk in the Spirit. You know, we have this command to believe in Jesus. Right? 1 John chapter 3 we looked at, verse 23. To believe in Him. Now, that means more than just to get born again. It means to believe in Him and everything that He is and everything that He has supplied you with, you need to get a hold of it. And again, this is not all about you. This is not all about me. This isn't even all about the church. I can take you all the way back to the book of Genesis, the father of the faith with Abraham. I believe it's in the 12th chapter of Genesis. God said to him, I'm going to bless you. And then he went on and he said, you shall be a blessing. So God commanded us to live a certain way. Okay, all right. And the way that he commanded us to live is not just for you and me. So I want to go over now to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. And Kathy, I'd like you to put this one up in the New American Standard or the NIV. Either one of those two will do on this. But in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Philippians, as a matter of fact, the New King James is real good on this too. Any one of those three. Okay, this is good. He says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, put it up in the New American Standard. And he says there, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So it is an upward call. You know, we have a call according to, and we don't need to put this one up, but according to Hebrews chapter 3, I think it is, chapter 3 and verse 1. It's either 2:1 or 3:1. It says that we have a call, the heavenly call. It's a call from heaven and it's a call to heaven. Well, this is a call from heaven and it is a call for an upward life in this life. Yes, we're called to heaven, but we are called to live differently. This life is not just about you. We talk so much about what Jesus has supplied us with, and we need to know that. And that's really important, and we need to walk that out. That's really important, and we need to live that out. That's really important, because when we do, we become a blessing to those around us. And quite honestly, God is glorified when you receive what Jesus has supplied you with. That messes with people's minds because they think I'm being selfish. No, I'm not being selfish. Matter of fact, I'm being exactly what God wanted me to be, someone who receives His blessings. And when I do that, it blesses others and they will begin to recognize that's God on Him. And they will begin to glorify Him as they see me walk in the blessings of God. So even when I walk this out and I receive the provision, it's not all about me. This life that we live is intended to be the upward life, a higher life, a way of living that is so different, the world can't hardly believe it. It is believable. But they have trouble believing it because it's so good. So we have this upward call. And this upward call that God has called us to is this life where we live above and beyond. Now, I want to go over really quickly. And I actually was going to start here at one point. Let's go over to the book of Hebrews, and we'll go to chapter 5 first, and then the tail end of chapter 5, and then we'll go into chapter 6. So Hebrews, chapter 5, and verse 12. We begin in verse 12, and we'll read the last three verses. Verses 12, 13, and 14, and then we'll go into the sixth chapter. And if you would, put this up in the King James for me. says here, for when, for the time, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. He says, you ought to be mature. This is what I'm talking about. The upward call is not just a call to stuff. The upward call is a call upward where we grow up into Him, which is the head, even Christ. And we are not moved with winds of doctrine and the sleight of men, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, where we grow up. So he says here, for when for the time you ought to be teaching others, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And you are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful. Now we're going to stay on this for a minute. Is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So he says, you ought to grow up. The body of Christ needs to grow up. One of the things about the body of Christ that Jesus is going to return for is it is going to be a much more mature church than it has been. We're going to grow up in a hurry. I'll tell you what, where I was 10 years ago and where I am today, radically different. Where I was 7 years ago and where I am today, radically different. Where I was 5 years ago and where I am today, radically different. Where I was 3 years ago, you see, I moved here 7 years ago. You guys have seen me in the last 7 years. Where I was 5 years, where I was 3 years ago, I'm radically different. I am not living the same way. There is a higher call, and part of that call is to maturity. And he says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And he says here, no, go back to that one. He says there, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful. Now that word unskillful means inexperienced. Inexperienced. And don't get hung up on the word of righteousness thinking it's just about the subject of righteousness. What he's talking about is the righteous word of God. He says you don't know how to use it. You need to grow up to where you know how to use the word of God. And if you don't know how to use it, you're going to have to learn. Because maturity is what we're talking about here. Now let's go on into the next verse. But strong meat belongs to them which are of full age. They're mature. That's what he's talking about here. They're mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now this is amazing. Because what he is talking about is the baby Christian, and I have known people that were probably in their 80s that were baby Christians. They grew up in church. They grew up singing in the choir. They grew up around the ministry. And they were babies. And he says here, but strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, even to those who by reason of use. What does that mean again? It means by practice. They practice using the word of God. By reason of practice and exercise. They exercise concerning this. This word is actually one that is used, and it begins with kind of the first part of it, and it's the word that we get gym from, gymnasium. In the Greek. And it has to do with one who works out. So he says, who by reason of working out and using this have their senses discerned, or have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So a baby Christian struggles even discerning good from evil. And we have millions that have sat in the congregations and have never grown up. They call and cry to the pastor about everything. They need to grow up. They need to learn to use the Word of God. I intended to go further than this tonight. It's 8 o'clock now and I'm going to have to quit. But we need to learn to use the Word of God. Now, when you have the written word of God, you begin to read this, and it will jump off the page at you. This is so good! You know, the first time I heard many of the things that I preach now, it was stunning to me. Didn't realize it was in the Word of God. Where it talks about, by His stripes you're healed. Doesn't say you will be healed, you know. It says, by His stripes you are healed. And then in the New Testament, it says, by His stripes you were healed. It puts it into our court of access. We access what He has provided. But He's provided it. When it comes to finances, when it comes to our living, He didn't say you shall live by your giftings. He said you'll live by faith. So we need to grow up to where we get to the point where we know how to use the Word of God. And how do you use the Word of God? When He says something, man, you gotta agree with Him. You gotta believe it. A component of every word of God is persuasion. It has built into it persuasion, and if you will listen to the word of God, you will be persuaded by the word of God. When it talks in Hebrews chapter 3 and in Hebrews chapter 4 about the children of Israel not going into the promised land because they didn't believe, some translations actually say they were disobedient. And that is actually translated both ways. They believed not, but what it means is they chose not to be persuaded by the very voice of God, therefore they disobeyed. So built into every word of God, within the components of that word, there is power, yes, but there is also persuasion. It's built in. And so when we read it and we hear it, we need to grab hold of it. And we begin to learn to exercise that Word of God. We exercise ourselves by exercising the Word. We believe it. You're going to have to speak it. You're going to have to declare it with your mouth. It's going to have to be, I believe, therefore I speak. It's not, I believe, well, maybe I believe. No, no. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 addresses this, and Paul is actually quoting directly out of the Old Testament, out of the book of Psalms, I believe it is, and basically what he says in verse 13, I believe it is, 2 Corinthians 4, 13, and the essence of that verse is, I believe, therefore I speak, or in other words, because I believe, it comes out of my mouth. And that's when you actually are acting upon the Word of God. Now, you're going to have, man, I just do not have time to go much beyond this, but with the Word of God, you're going to have to learn, and this is growing up, folks. This is growing up. Yes, sir. Okay, we'll go there. Let's go over to, and I keep quoting this, but let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to have to wrap it up. But in Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Open parentheses and then close parentheses later on. Because what you find is he talks about several things in verses 9 and 10. So when you get into the gifts, you jump down to verse 11. The other is a parenthetic statement. Gives you more revelation. It's important. But what I want you to see is he gave gifts unto men, then jump down into verse 11. And it says here, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. That's mature. Unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And let's go on into the next verse. that we henceforth be no more children. And then he talks about what children are like. Children are tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Then into the next verse. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, which is the head, even Christ. So he talks about us growing up. We can go, and I'm not going to go into any more of it, because, but this is one of the most important sections of the Scripture concerning how the church functions. From, you know, the next few verses, next couple of verses are amazing. I don't have time to teach on it. We've looked at that many, many times. But he talks about us growing up. Again, where we were at in Romans chapter 14, where we kind of began, this life is not all about you. You don't live unto yourself, nor do you die unto yourself. Then in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17, out of the Amplified, and the reason I bring the Amplified Classic up is because it puts it properly. You look those words up, and it means what it says there. That you will be a way of life unto certain ones if you are walking with God, but you will be a way that leads people astray if you don't. This life is not all about you. He's called us upward. It is a higher life. It is a life of love. It is a life in the Spirit. It is a life of faith. So this higher life that he's called us to is an amazing, amazing life. And I'm telling you, we are so close to Jesus' return. We didn't get into Hebrews chapter 6. Maybe we'll go there next week. We'll see where God takes us. But in Hebrews chapter 6, he really talks about maturity. And you have to examine it a little bit, but he talks about maturity. And so he's called us to grow up into him, which is the head, even Christ. So, you want to grow up? Do you want to grow up? I want to grow up. I want to have a life that, and it's not that people applaud me, but that God says, well done, good and faithful servant. You fulfilled your call. You ran your race. You kept the faith. That's what I'm looking forward to. And that's very soon, folks. That's very soon. I have that stirring in me. Father, we come in Jesus' name and I thank you. This is the day that you have made. We do rejoice and are glad in it. This is not something that is heavy and odious. God, you've called us to grow up. And as we grow up, we become a blessing to others. God, you know, we can go from child, from baby, to toddler, to young adult, to full maturity pretty quickly. Because God, the Holy Spirit will help us to do so. The season in which we are alive, I don't think we have the 20 years that it took me to get to where I'm at today. I believe the time is so short and people are going to grow up quickly. I've seen it in my life, how I've grown, but I've seen it in the lives of others that I'm close to who have grown up quickly. And we're going to see it happen. And so, Father, I thank you. The commitments that we have in this church, God, the things that we have that maybe we're doing, but they're not coming under the umbrella of your call for this church. Illuminate them to my spirit, my understanding, so that we may deal with those things and cut the fat. And so that we may fulfill the destiny with great strength and passion and zeal, not being worn out because we have all these extra superfluous things. So God, I thank you. And God, as we go forth tonight, I thank you for your protection, that you cover us. you give your angels charge over us, because we've made you, the Most High God, our habitation. We dwell in you and you dwell in us. Therefore, your angels, you give charge over us. They keep us in all our ways, bear us up in their hands, lest we even dash our foot against the stone. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. And I declare what your word has said. We are protected. They surround us. They keep us safe. We will have safe journeys to our homes. We will have safe journeys to the destinations that you have set before us. We will get there. We will get there on time. We will not have issues. And I thank you for that, Father. And I thank you that this week, the rest of this week, and in the upcoming days, we will get to the destinations that you have set for us. I thank you for illuminating those things. That it's almost, God, like looking at a map, only it's more than just flat, and we see the destination, but it begins to light up. It begins to light up, and we know that that's where we're going. And because we know that that's where we're going, that you have given us that unction, we have an assurance we're getting there. We're getting there on time. We're getting there unscathed. Oh, if we have to go through the fire, we won't even smell of the fire. If we have to go through the flood, you'll part it for us. Wherever we have to go, we will get there on time, and we will accomplish the will of God when we get there. We will not just sit back and do nothing, for this is the day, Father, of the church. This is the day of the sleeping giant no longer sleeping, of us waking up, of us shuddering and getting the cobwebs out, of us rising up and us declaring the Word of God with authority as you speak it to us. We speak it in the earth, and it comes to pass. And I thank you for that. Now, Lord, thank you for the destiny upon these people and upon me. We will accomplish the very will of God in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.